helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. It's almost universally true that people do not read the terms and conditions for most of the services they use. And no matter how many times we've been told, most people don't really read the contract before they sign it. Now, sadly, this can lead to more than confusion, but to serious consequences. This is why those gigantic omnibus bills that Congress passes are so dangerous. It's also why budgets and legislation need to be carefully reviewed and debated before they are signed. Now, as is often said, the devil is in the details, and he's prowling about seeing whom he can devour. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Teach the rising generation to be free. Glad you could join me today. You know, again, when you've got bills that are thousands and tens of thousands of pages long, or even when you have a bill that's of a reasonable size, but there's no time to read and review it before it gets voted on or signed, there's a lot of sneaky stuff that gets put in there. And it's become, well, a skill in D.C. to see almost how much garbage you can cram into legislation. Well, the recent spending bill that kept the government from shutting down had a few surprises in it. And by the way, so does the budget that President Biden has sent to the Congress for his wish list. So let's take a look at a few of those. Now, you know, not all things that get snuck into bills are necessarily bad. They may not be necessarily good, but they're not necessarily bad. Well, for example, remember, was it last weekend or the weekend before when Joe Biden signed that package of bills to avoid the government shutdown? Well, there were some interesting things in there. See, J.D. Vance had drafted some legislation to stop the federal mask mandates from the Department of Transportation. And guess what? That was in this, they're calling it a minibus, right? A small omnibus. Kind of an oxymoron, like a giant shrimp. But in this law, the Department of Transportation cannot use federal funds to enforce mask mandates on passenger airlines, commuter rail, rapid transit buses, or any other transportation funded through fiscal year 2024. Now, again, this is a little bit of good news. The fact that this legislation shouldn't be needed is a whole nother issue. Because government mask mandates are unconstitutional, therefore they're void. They don't legally exist. Sadly, and I've had discussion quite frequently lately, most people don't realize that. And most people certainly don't know how to apply it. And most of those people, by the way, a lot of them seem to be resident in Washington, D.C. for a large part of the year. So here we have a situation where I would say a good piece of legislation got snuck in. The fact that we needed it was bad. But hey, better to fix something a little bit. I'll take the small win in this giant omnibus disaster that I've talked about previously. But think about it. In order to get what should be a simple, constitutionally sound, freedom-loving bill passed through Congress, it had to be snuck into an omnibus bill, I think passed, you know, middle of the night, with no time for people to read it. It just shows the dysfunction that is Washington, D.C. Now, as I said, mask mandates are unconstitutional. They deprive you of liberty without due process of law. They deprive you of the control of the property that you have in your body without due process of law. Therefore, they're a violation of the Fifth Amendment at the federal level, right? Because we're talking about federal legislation here, or federal agencies here. Since they violate the Constitution, they're not sound. They're void. By the way, those aren't my words. I keep going back. It's Alexander Hamilton from Federalist Papers number 78. There is no position which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. Remember, all government power is delegated authority. We delegate to the United States. We delegate to the states. We even delegate to our local cities their power. But Mr. Hamlin goes on. He says, no legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would to affirm that the deputy is greater than the principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid. Well, that pretty much sums up mask mandates, doesn't it? But you see the way he describes it? He says, if we allow mask mandates, then we're basically saying that our representatives are superior to the people. It's just as crazy as saying a deputy is greater than their principal or that a servant is above their master. But yet we do it all the time. I cannot tell you how many discussions and debates I get into in social media or in events that I go to about, well, you know, the Congress passed a law. I don't care. That law is void. Well, the courts haven't said so. The courts don't have the power to overturn law. They cannot make law. They cannot repeal law. They can merely offer an opinion in a case. That's the definition of the judicial power given to federal courts under Article 3. But we've been brainwashed and trained. So on the one hand, hey, yes, I am happy that this particular piece of legislation snuck through. Not happy that it had to sneak, but I am happy that it snuck through. But let's take a look now at what Joe Biden wants to do with his latest budget. Let me warn you, it ain't pretty. Now, that's not to say that the administration doesn't try to make it sound pretty. So the administration released the $7.3 trillion budget framework for fiscal year 2025. By the way, if you don't realize, the fiscal year for the federal government begins October 1st. So it's always a little goofy in there. But for fiscal 2025, $7.3 trillion. Now, to put that in perspective, according to the U.S. Treasury report, in fiscal year 2023, because we're in the middle of 24, not done yet, in fiscal year 2023, they took in a total of $4.4 trillion. I'm hoping somebody there has actually done a little bit of math, because 7.3, if you're taking in 4.4 and you're spending 7.3, that's what, $2.9 trillion deficit. Deficit. Now, again, looking at 2023, the last year we have full numbers for, the federal government ran a deficit of, looks like about $1.4 trillion. I like the way they don't actually put the numbers in. This is the, by the way, I'm looking at the Treasury financial report, the fiscal report. They give you a nice little grasp, but they don't actually give you the real numbers, which, always makes me a little suspicious when you're not showing the real numbers. But okay, so far in the first 2 months of fiscal 2024, there's already a deficit of $380 billion. So we are well on our way to another $1.5 trillion or so deficit. So when the Biden administration says, you know what, we expect that the deficit would decrease by $3 trillion over 10 years. That's what a decade is, 10 years. Well, you should immediately do a little math. That means about $300 billion a year. If it's an average of $3 trillion over 10 years, that's $300 billion a year. If we ran a $1.4 trillion deficit and we're only going to decrease it by $300 billion, that means we're still running a $1 trillion plus deficit. And to the Biden administration, this is good news. To the American people, it's not. But look how he expects to generate this $3 trillion in decreasing deficit over 10 years. Tax hikes on the wealthy. Well, there's, you know, closing loopholes, cutting wasteful spending on big pharma, big oil, and other special interests. Well, let's start with this. Tax hikes on the wealthy. What they really are talking about is they're trying to implement a wealth tax. You know, you keep hearing them talk about how, you know, the billionaires don't pay their fair share. The billionaires don't pay the same tax rate as the average working person, because he's comparing apples and oranges. See, he's comparing a tax on the wealth of an individual versus the tax on the income of the individual. And all those little, you know, those little loopholes they use in order to avoid paying income tax and collect it as capital gains and other taxes. Remember, those were all put in place by the government. They established this tax policy. So things are not, things are not looking fiscally good in this country. He claims that the budget improves the fiscal outlook. No, it just continues the bleeding. You know, it's like looking at a body with, you know, compound fractures in the legs, a sunken chest wound, a punctured lung, and oh, by the way, the nosebleed has stopped. You see, that roughly $1 trillion deficit each year the government expects to run, that's almost 4% of the gross domestic product of the country. In other words, if you take all of the money in goods and services created in the United States, the deficit each year is roughly 4% of that. Now, here's a couple of other problems that we don't think about. See, if you have a deficit, you've got to borrow money. Now, I know most of you are aware, when you borrow money, you're expected to pay interest, which means as the deficit continues, whether it grows or not, as it continues, we have to borrow more and more money, which means the national debt goes up. Now, that produces two recurring problems. Problem number one, as the debt go up, the service of the debt, in other words, the interest paid on the debt, goes up year after year after year after year. In other words, we're taking money out of our pocket to pay the interest on the money we've already borrowed, and that's going up. And pretty soon, that number is going to exceed what we pay for national defense. We're going to pay more money in interest on the debt than we are on our national defense. That's like looking at your household and saying, we're going to spend more money in credit card interest than we are on our mortgage. It's crazy. As far as the Biden administration, oh no, this is going to improve our fiscal outlook by continuing to spend money like crazy. Now, I've got examples of how Biden wants to spend this money, but I don't want to start into that now because we're going to hit a break in a few minutes. But I want you to consider this. If the United States were a private corporation, it would have been declared bankrupt decades ago. If the Congress did not have the unlimited ability to borrow on the credit of the United States, they would have had to deal with the problem. But they don't. There is no hard limit in the Constitution of how much money Congress can spend. Now, there is a soft limit. It's the limit the American people will continue hiring these thieves for. See, we're in a problem. We're in a cycle. We have we're making the same mistake over and over again. You hire somebody to go to Congress, and they promise to bring down the deficit. But the system is designed to make that very, very difficult. And they get corrupted by the system, and they become part of the system. Now, listen, there have to be compromises. We're not getting out of this mess in an election cycle. But the more we keep hiring people that make the problem worse, the worse it's going to get. In other words, until we start firing people who vote for these omnibus bills, we're going to keep getting people with omnibus bills with lots of pork and waste stuck inside. As long as we keep voting for people who vote to keep increasing the debt, increasing the deficits, refusing to deal with the fiscal problems of the federal government, we're going to get more fiscal problems for the federal government. And nobody should be surprised. Oh, you can make all sorts of excuses, but let's face it, we're in this problem because we want all the goodies and we want someone else to pay for it. And when it comes to the deficit and the debt, those people paying for it are our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, heck, our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren probably could not pay off this deficit, this debt that we've accumulated. And before you start pointing your finger at the president, before you start even pointing your finger at Congress, remember, you didn't pick the president, the states did, but you told the states who to pick. But all this money cannot be spent unless Congress passes appropriation, and you picked the people in Congress. Now, speaking of reading the fine print, right? If you sign up for a mobile carrier, wireless carrier, there's a lot of fine print, including where they're going to spend the money that you pay them for the service. Well, how about instead of funding those companies that are working against our freedom, you buy from companies that believe, well, what you and I believe. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer the best 4G and 5G coverage on all networks, and they use all the same towers as the major carriers. Their U.S.-based support has been awesome. I've used them, and I can't give them enough praises. So if you want to support organizations fighting for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, the sanctity of life, and even for veterans and first responders, switch to Patriot Mobile. Do it today, and you can get free activation if you use the offer code CONSTITUTION. So go to patriotmobile.com/constitution and use that code CONSTITUTION in order to get free activation. And I've been using the service for about a year or two now, and I have to tell you, I thoroughly enjoy it. It's some of the best service I've had ever, and I've been on a wireless network for a long, long time. Now, the other thing you need to support is your immune system. You know, I travel a lot. I was in Oklahoma this past weekend, and you know, you need a little boost for your immune system so you don't get sick. That's why I reach for Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. It contains over a dozen immune supplements in a single and an easy-to-use travel-ready gel pack. Throw them in my bag, take them when I'm traveling. They're great. As an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Find out more at AmericaOutLoud.shop. Again, go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, find the ad for Immune Super Boost or any Healthy Cells products, and find out how you can enjoy these great products and still get 25% off your first order.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. CofixRx has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution Study. You know, I mentioned before going to break that I was at a podcasters conference. I was out in Oklahoma. I happened to be at a podcasters conference. And I got to meet General Flynn. Only briefly. I just got a chance to talk to him real briefly. But I didn't realize he's got a movie coming out. It's called Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. I've seen the trailer. It looks like it'll be pretty interesting. If you want to find out more, if you want to get tickets, or if you want to participate in the live event, go to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie. That's all one word, FLYNNMOVIE. And you can find out more, you can get updates, and you can purchase tickets, or just watch the trailer, see if you like it. That's constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie. I'm planning on watching. I thought it would be a pretty good, it's going to be a pretty good movie. Now, we were talking about Biden's budget proposal. And it's part of this convoluted process of budgeting. As I understand it, the presidential budget really doesn't mean anything. It's a wish list. This is what he wants. Doesn't legally bind Congress to anything. Congress is supposed to pass their own budget. They may or may not use the president's budget as a guideline, but this is his wish list. So what does President Biden want? What's he wishing for? Well, let's take a look. First thing he wants to do, he wants to spend hundreds of billions of dollars of your money to fix a problem he created. Well, technically, he helped create. See, he's proposing $258 billion to build or preserve over 2 million housing units catering to low and middle income housing. Of this $258 billion, $20 billion is mandatory funding for innovative funds for housing expansion. Basically, they want to provide subsidies for the construction of multifamily rental homes, apartments. They also want to remove barriers to housing development. At least this is according to the White House. There's another $7.5 billion in so-called mandatory funding for rental assistance projects for the development of new climate-resilient affordable housing. Oh, let's take the Green New Deal and throw that in there as well. Now, according to the White House, the reason this is they need to spend this money is because the interest rates on home mortgages have gone up. The average for a 30-year mortgage is almost 8%, or was almost 8% in October. Some of the highest levels we've seen in decades. And the sales for existing homes fell to the lowest numbers since the 1990s. So Biden says, hey, let's just embezzle money. Yes, this is embezzlement. Look at the Constitution. The United States is not authorized to spend money on homes and home construction. In fact, Congress can collect taxes to do three things. Pay the debts of the United States. Boy, you got lots of those. For the common defense of the United States. And for the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, right? Those are proper nouns. That's the proper noun for the Union of States, whose government is seated in Washington, D.C. By the way, it's the same proper noun used in the 10th Amendment that says, if we did not authorize this, you are not allowed to do it. But here they are. He's going to spend billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in this because the interest rates are going up. But most economists point to the fact that, or I should say some economists point to the fact that the reason those interest rates are up is because the Biden spending policies have helped driven inflation up. And in order to tamp down inflation, you got to raise interest rates. So here you have the Biden administration spending money, often illegally, driving up inflation, which is driving up interest rates, which is making it harder for people to buy homes. So his solution is to steal more money from the American people to pay them to buy homes that are too expensive for them because of his policies. Does anybody else see a problem here? See, this is what we refer to as a positive feedback loop, meaning you have you have increased spending increases the deficit and increases inflation, both of which tend to drive up interest rates. You increase the interest rates, it makes it harder for people to buy homes. They can't buy homes, so the government comes in and says, then we will borrow more money to help you buy those homes, which, of course, also further increases interest rates and the inflation, and you have a positive feedback loop. The more we keep doing this, the worse and worse it gets. And we're supposed to say, oh, well, we'll fix it by just simply throwing at the money at the problem we made. That's the equivalent of saying, oops, I was cooking dinner and I set the cooktop on fire. I know what I'll do. Let me throw gasoline on that fire. That'll put it out. Yeah, that's one of his brilliant ideas of how to embezzle your money and use it to abuse all the American people, and especially the American taxpayer. And of course, that's not all that Joe Biden wants to spend money on. Letting the American taxpayer to paper over his mistakes. No, he wants to spend money on, well, infringing on your right to keep and bear arms. See, the proposed budget includes a 30% increase in the budget for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. They want to give the agency $2 billion for fiscal 2025. That's a 30% increase over 2021. And this is according to the White House. By the way, this is the same ATF that has not only created rules out of thin air. They've redefined bump stocks as automatic weapons. They claim to reinterpret, reimagine, redesign the National Firearms Act every few years. This is the ATF that wants to turn pretty much everybody that ever sells a gun into a federal firearm licensee. Right? They're changing the rules for what makes an FFL. And today, if you make a substantial income from selling weapons, then they call you an FFL, a federal firearms licensee. They say you need a federal license if you sell more than a few guns, and you make a substantial profit from it. They're talking about making it anybody who just sells a gun. And that means that if you want to sell a gun to your neighbor, to a friend, to a relative, well, since you're an FFL, that transaction has to go through a 4473 background check. And if you don't, of course, they're going to come after you. But here's the other interesting thing. See, I actually looked at becoming an FFL several years ago. The reason was simple. I got tired with some of the stupid regulations that the states were imposing on me for where I traveled. When I lived in New York, I had three different carry permits. I had one for the state of New York, which, by the way, did not work within the city of New York, but it worked in the state of New York. I had one for Florida because my father lived in Florida, and I would go down with him and we would, I'd visit him. Sometimes we'd go out shooting, and Florida did not recognize my New York carry permit because New York didn't recognize anybody else's carry permit. So I needed one in Florida so I could carry when I was visiting my father in Florida. Then I got one from Utah because a lot of states recognized Utah, and I traveled. And, it was the easiest way for me to get coverage in all these states. I looked at saying, what if I become an FFL? Can I transfer there? Can I do something there? And I quickly saw that was a bad idea. not only do you have all the paperwork and the fees and all that to simply become an FFL, you've got to keep a track of every firearm in your possession and what happens to it, right? You acquire a firearm, you have to register it in your books. You sell a firearm, register it in your books. If you miss something, you are in trouble. In fact, the ATF recently has been going after FFLs after their licenses for little things like typos. You know, you use the word was it Mike instead of Michael in the person's name, or you transposed a couple letters in the city or a couple numbers in the zip code, and they want to take away your FFL. But the worst, the most fundamentally evil and unconstitutional point of getting an FFL is they make you designate a place where the FFL physically exists, and they claim the right to search without cause. An ATF agent can walk up to an FFL and say, "We're searching now. We're going to search your whole place. We're going to search all your records. And oh, by the way, if that place happens to be in your home, maybe in the garage, maybe in the basement, they claim the right to search your entire home because you're an FFL." So now you have the ATF that's going after people for FFLs for minor, truly minor infringements. That's redefining ghost guns and magazine capacities and all sorts of things. And now they want to make everybody an FFL. And Biden wants to give them an extra, they want to give them $2 billion to do so. Let's give them more money to do this. And of course, it's not just ATF. See, he wants $17.7 billion for the Department of Injustice. See, he wants to help them, quote, effectively investigate and prosecute gun crimes. Well, actually, what his actions have shown is he wants them to effectively investigate and prosecute gun owners. See, gun crimes, when people who are charged with gun crimes get plea deals, that basically gets rid of the felony. When someone can commit multiple crimes, and there's a great website, Bearing Arms, on his podcast, he talks about repeat offenders, many of them with firearms that get sweetheart deals, get off probation when they should have been in jail, and the Department of Justice doesn't seem to be going after them. Seems that they're going after gun owners. And they want more money for that now, too. Of course, you got to know he's going after the Green Deal. He's got to get money for his Green Deal. So take the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. By the way, an agency that does not legally exist. The legislation that created the EPA is unconstitutional because the Constitution doesn't give the United States the authority to protect the environment. It doesn't exist. So that agency, a bill to do so, is a power not delegated to the United States. That agency doesn't exist legally. According to the Supreme Court in the case Norton v. Shelby County, an unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It affords no protections. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as an operative as though it had never been passed. Yet here we have this agency sucking up billions of dollars every year. And Biden wants to throw some more money at him. When Biden took office in 2021, the EPA's Office of Air and Radiation had a budget of a little under a billion dollars. Now he wants to give them $1.5 billion, $690 million increase since 2021, in order to infringe on your right to live your life. Because, again, the Constitution doesn't delegate to the United States the authority to regulate, to protect the environment. I'm sorry, it's not there. Now, you may think it's a good idea. You may think they should. That's completely up to you. However, it's not part of the Constitution. It's not a power delegated to the United States. Now, I have to take a break before I go on. Before I do, a couple questions for you. Do you have any questions for me? Questions about the Constitution, questions about the Constitution study, what we're doing, what plans we have, the ideas for the radio program. Please let me know. Go to constitutionstudy.com, click the Ask a Question button, and ask your question. I'm more than happy to answer. In fact, I love answering questions on the radio. So if you check the little button that says, you know, answer on the radio, I'll be more than happy to. And don't feel embarrassed. I'm sure whatever question you have, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there with the same question. They're just unwilling to ask. So do that. Also, do you have ideas? I'm always looking for interesting people to interview, organizations to interview for the Constitution study. So if you have someone, if you know someone, again, you can comment on this show page when it hits the website, or you can go to Ask a Question. Simply ask, Paul, will you reach out to this person or this group? Because I think they'd be a great interview. I'd love to do that. I want to make sure that this is as interactive as we can make it. I want to be aware of what your interests are so I can try to respond to them. And the only way I can do that is if I know what you're thinking. And the only way I can do that, well, is if you actually, you know, contact me and, well, let me know what you're thinking. So please go to constitutionstudy.com, click the Ask a Question button, ask away. I'm willing to, I'm waiting to hear from you to hear what you would like to hear. Now, I also recommend you go poking around AmericaOutloud.news every day. It's a great place to get news and information from different sources with different points of view. But I need you to do something with it. See, I love it when you share this content, but it's more important that we share more content from the website, that other people know, well, the news, the information, and what we need in order to live free. See, knowledge is not power until you put it into action. So please take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, whatever you find up there, and share it. Share it with friends, family, online. Don't worry about how many people will see it. That's not the problem. That's not the point. It's actually the act of you sharing this information that helps us all secure the blessings of liberty.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today we're talking about reading the fine print. And we're learning what's in, well, we learned a little bit about what's in the recent spending bill, but mostly in Joe Biden's budget. And I got one more example of him trying to get you to pay for his mistakes. So we all know about the migrant crisis. We've heard, New York City and New York State and all these sanctuary cities and states begging the federal government for money. Oh, you know, we wanted to be sanctuaries, but now they're actually showing up and we can't afford it. So you got to send us money. Please, Mr. Biden, send us some money. Well, guess what he's trying to? The president is asking Congress for $13 billion of your money to provide homes and workplaces for illegal aliens. In other words, these mayors and governors, they've made promises they can't fulfill.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
And of course, the American citizen, the American taxpayer, is expected to make up the difference. Right? Not the people who elected those mayors and governors. We don't expect them to. They want everyone else to pay for their mistakes. They want us to bail out their ego. And you wonder why American citizens are getting frustrated and fed up with this? Another $13 billion on the American debt to fulfill campaign promises that politicians made that they knew they'd never be able to fulfill those promises. Never. They fully expected you to pick up the tab. And that's what Biden's trying to do a little bit more of in this budget. This wish list of just America-destroying ideas. These illegal, unconstitutional, unethical, and immoral spending that they're expecting us to pay for. Okay, before I go, I have two items for you, and, well, I'll give you the classic line. Do you want the good news or the bad news? Personally, I like to end on good news. So I'm going to give you the bad news first because, well, let's face it, ultimately it's my decision to begin with. So we head to New York City, and there was apparently the fire department, FDNY, was having a promotion ceremony a couple weeks ago, and in attendance, speaking at the event, was Letitia James. If you don't recognize the name, that's the Attorney General of the state of New York, who's famously gone after Trump and others. Well, let's say the FDNY was not real happy with Ms. James, and they made their voices heard. They booed her. They gave a chant of Trump, 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 and she wasn't real happy with it. She kept asking them to simmer down. She said, thank you for getting it out of your system. But, they were not real happy. Well, that sounds like good news, except, you can't really expect someone that will attacks their political opponents for standing by and getting booed in so public a manner. So, really, you have the higher ups in the fire department, the New York Fire Department, the chieftains, as they put it. They sent out a memo, and they warned that such impertinence is forbidden. And now, apparently, there are investigators for the department on a manhunt to bring the perpetrators of this disrespect to justice. I guess freedom of speech in the New York Fire Department is looked on about the same way as a typhoid cat or a large fire. We must eradicate it. I didn't even realize it, but the FDNY has a Bureau of Investigations and Trials that are, again, trying to round up the suspects who actually dared to boo, to express an opinion, to use their freedom of speech to express their opinion about Ms. James, a public official nonetheless. According to Chief John Hodge, he reports to the boss of the FDNY. He says, BITS is investigating this, so they will figure out who the members are. I recommend they come forward. I have been told by the commissioner it would be better for them if they come forward and we don't have to hunt them down. You know what? Here's what I would recommend to all members of the FDNY. By the way, I was born in New York City. I remember as a small child going to a firehouse, going to one of the sitting in the driver's seat of a truck. These are cool things. But I would recommend all of them. Don't do it. You have a right protected by the Constitution of the State of New York to freely express your opinions. Now, if this was a required event, in other words, you were forced to go there, then as part of your job, that's a whole other issue. But you have a right to express your feelings. You have a right to petition your government for a redress of grievance. And that is protected by the Constitution of the State of New York. Notice I did not say First Amendment because this had nothing to do with Congress. This is a New York State constitutional issue. And you cannot call expressing an opinion to a public official abuse of your freedom of speech. So that's the bad news. The bad news is, once again, New York State is shown to be, and New York City, once again, fallen to the Soviet era, Marxist, communist, dictatorial. You are not allowed to publicly disagree, to publicly express an opinion antithetical to your betters in government. I feel for the members of the FDNY. I hope they stonewall BITS. I hope the people of New York stand with the firefighters and their ability to express an opinion. Because I would bet you dollars to donuts, if that was, say, Rudy Giuliani that was speaking to them, and they were chanting, "Biden, Biden, Biden," no one would have said a word. It's a political hit job, and it should be treated as such. Okay, let's finish up with a good news story. It's a story of a young man by the name of Cameron Blazek. He goes to East Central High School in St. Leon, in Indiana, I believe. And, he has a pickup truck, and he mounted an American flag on the tailgate of the truck. So wherever he goes, there goes Old Glory.
The flag itself represents this country, this beautiful country that we live in.
Now, according to a report from WCPO, the flag was firmly attached to the vehicle. It was not a safety hazard, and it even abided by the U.S. flag code. But apparently not everybody was happy about this.
I got pulled aside by my counselor and vice principal, and they told me, hey, you got to remove the flag off the back of your truck. And I kind of looked at him, and I said, it's not going to happen. I said, I can't.
I love it. Here's a young man, 17 years old. He knows his rights. He says, no, I cannot do that. But what I find, there's more. See, he went to the rule book. He went to the rules for the school to find out if what he was doing was wrong.
Read through East Central's 2023-2024 handbook, and the word flag wasn't even mentioned in the parking lot or driving section. The only section it's mentioned in is the flag twirling section.
Apparently, the next day, other people showed up with flags on their cars, their trucks, and other vehicles.
There was a huge support group there that believed and stood for the same thing that I did, and I was kind of shocked by that.
Now, it's interesting because according to the principal, there was neither a complaint about the flag at the school or any insinuation that the flag was offensive. The principal did send a letter to parents saying that he said he wanted to clear up any confusion, And then he said, after careful consideration and in recognition of the importance of the U.S. flag as a symbol of unity and national identity, I am pleased to inform you that we are allowing the display of the U.S. flag by students in El Central High School parking lot. I have a little piece of information for this principal, Mr. Black, I believe his name is. They don't need your permission to fly the flag. The school is by definition public property. It is funded by the taxpayers of the county. Therefore, they have the right to freedom of expression, whether it be freedom of speech or publishing or simply expressing their views on their vehicles. There was no law broken. They don't need your permission. And I'm glad that this young man actually stood up and said no when you tried to shut him down. He also wrote, I would like to extend my sincere apologies for any confusion that may have arisen from the initial lack of clarity on this matter. It seems that the original lack of clarity and confusion were your actions and why you would do this. Why you thought you had the authority to tell a young man to remove an American flag from his private property simply because it was on public property that you are currently principal of.
I think everybody gets offended over something that doesn't mean what everybody says it does. This flag represents our country and the people who died for it and fought for it, and I respect that with my whole heart.
Now, I have to let you know that audio was courtesy of WCPO, and I've tried to reach out to this young man and his father. His father was out in the piece talking about how proud he is. I'd love to have you on the radio program. I don't have any contact information for you. So, Cameron Blasek, if you know Cameron Blasek, or if by some chance you're listening to this, please contact me at the website, constitutionstudy.com. I'd love to have you on the radio program. I'd love to hear more about this. And I hope that's a piece of good news. I hope the idea that there are young people, 17-year-old, as I understand it, he comes from a family of veterans that he's considering serving as well, but simply to be flying the American flag, to be proud of your country when so many young people are being taught to hate their country. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think to be willing to stand up when the principal and the counselor comes out and says, take that down, to say, no, it ain't happening. That's a wonderful thing. And I'd love I just love to talk to you about it and allow the rest of the audience to share in. So again, if you're listening, please contact me. If you know somebody who knows somebody who knows him, reach out, let him know. I'd love to have him here on the Constitution Study. So where do we sit now with all of this fine print? See, that's fine print as well. Think about it. A young man who looks at his nation and say, yeah, I'm sure it's not perfect, but it's still a great nation. We should be looking closer at the fine print of what's going on. We should be hiring people that are looking at the details of these bills and these budgets. And part of the reason we don't is it's easy a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's often what we're dealing with. Here's a bitter pill, but I'm going to give you a little sugar. Help wash that down. Help give you a little bit of cover by burying it in this. It's like a dog, right? If you want the dog to take a pill, what do? You wrap it in something they like. You hide it. You bury it in their food. That's kind of the way this has been working. By the way, it's something like 20 years we've been dealing with these omnibus bills, and yet we keep hiring the same people to do it over and over again. That's malfeasance. That's not a mistake anymore. That, ladies and gentlemen, that is a pre-thought of situation. It's intentional. Yet we keep hiring people who do this. So take a little closer look at the fine print. Look at the fine print of your representatives. Every representative has a website, and there's always a place you can go where you can find out what they've been voting on. Take a look at the fine print. I know it takes time. Maybe get together. break up the work, right? You get a few people together. I'll look at this group and you look at that group, and then let's come together and discuss and see what we find. Okay, it sounds a little weird, but is it really that strange to look at the performance of your employee, the people you hire to represent you? And if their decisions, if their actions, if their votes don't uphold their oath to support the Constitution of their state and of the United States, well, then find someone who will. Let's stop signing these ridiculous contracts. Let's stop agreeing to the terms and conditions that violate the Constitution and our rights. Let's look at the fine print. Let's have the backbone of this young Mr. Blasek and stand up saying, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to violate my rights. I'm not going to let it happen. And you know what? If you do that in your neighborhood, and I do that in my neighborhood, we do it in our cities and our counties and our towns, pretty soon that becomes commonplace in our entire state. And once we get the states on board, DC stops mattering anymore. Because once the states realize the power they have over the federal government, we can bring it back into check. But it starts with you, it starts with your neighbors, and it starts with your neighborhood. So please, let's start looking at that fine print. Don't vote for the person because they're a donkey or an elephant or they look good or they make a good speech. Let's look at the fine print of what they are actually doing. I also hope you'll come back and join us here for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, if you can't listen then, that's okay. All the episodes go to podcast, generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Even if you listen primarily live, subscribe to the show. Maybe leave an episode ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. We certainly want to spread that word. Because knowledge is not power until it's put into action. So please, go to AmericaOutloud.news, find the links for the show and for the podcast, and then share them. Share them with friends. Share them. Take this call to action and share it with your neighbors and say, hey, let us start looking at the fine print. Because it's not how many you share it with. It's the act of you actually sharing this knowledge, this information, that helps secure the blessings of liberty.